Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. The show is Peace Talks. And right now, I'm joined on the phone by Robert Bryan, Mumia Abu-Jamal's lead counsel. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how are you doing? It's great to be with you this afternoon.
I'm doing all right. Thanks for taking the time, and I know you have to potentially go at any moment.
Yeah, it's
so.
Kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, I bet that it is. So basically, on Thursday, March 27th, a federal appeals court ruled to not reinstate Mumia Abu-Jamal's death sentence.
Well, that's not exactly. And I'm not faulting you, but there's a lot of confusion, I think, generated by what went out on the wire service. What the court actually did was ordered that Mumia was entitled to a new jury trial, but limited to the issue of life or death. And he's still sitting on death row as we speak today, and he will be, because I talked with the district attorney's office in Philadelphia this morning, and their intention now, as we speak today, is to seek review of that issue before the U.S. Supreme Court, and they've got 90 days from last Thursday to do that. So that's part of the ruling. There's actually three parts to the ruling, but go ahead. I'm stealing your thunder.
What are the three parts to the
ruling? All right, well, the first is the court reversed the case as to penalty, ordered a new jury trial on the question of life or death. Okay? And that's good because it helps other people similarly situated who are sitting on death rows. And any time one gets any kind of victory against the death penalty, it's good. The downside is, and this is a mixed bag, the court denied our request through hundreds of pages of briefing and evidence, et cetera, our request for an entirely new trial on the question of guilt or innocence, which is pretty outrageous. However, the silver lining to that is that this is by a three-judge panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, Philadelphia. Two of the judges denied relief as far as getting an entirely new trial. However, the third judge, Judge Thomas Ambrose, wrote a 41-page dissent, which is the strongest I've seen in 30 years of defending people in murder cases facing the death penalty, and he really took the other two judges to task. This all concerns racism in jury selection. And Judge Ambrose just said that what the other two judges did was wrong. It broke with the existing law and precedent of not only the U.S. Court of Appeals, but the U.S. Supreme Court. And he asked the question three times in different ways. Why are they suddenly changing course in midstream? Why are they doing it in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal? Why are they treating him, in his case, different than other death penalty cases? And I think that maybe gets to the very heart of the matter. As I've said, since we orally argued this before the three-judge panel last May 17, that if the judges follow the law and the U.S. Constitution, we get an entirely new trial. But if politics in any way influences the court, we have a problem. And I can't read the judges' minds, but they certainly turned their backs, took a different position than they have taken even very recently in other capital cases on the issue of racism and jury selection.
I see. So basically what happened is that a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit ruled that Mumia must be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, or the other thing that could happen is that he could get a chance with a new Philadelphia jury, which would decide only whether he would get either life in prison with no parole or a death sentence.
Well,
that's all they can judge.
Quite right. They did not say he should have life. All they said was that the death penalty, as imposed in this case, was done wrongly, and therefore he is to get a new jury trial on the question of life or death. He's still on death row, and it's up to the district attorney to retry him. But as I said, they're going to seek review in the U.S. Supreme Court. So that really is not going to take effect. And at least for the time being. But the silver lining is, of course, in the court's refusal to to grant this entirely new trial is that we do have this lengthy dissent by one judge who just rips apart the other two judges. And but let me tell you what's going to happen. This is the exciting part. I'm going to seek a rehearing, not just before these same judges, but before the entire court. In other words, every judge in the United States Court of Appeals, and we have a right to do that. And if we get enough votes, then we get our new trial, entirely new trial. And of course, you need to understand what my bottom line is, and Mamiya's, well, mine is, as his attorney, is I want an entirely new trial. I want to get this case back before a jury, and I want him acquitted. I want him to walk out of that courtroom a free person to go home to his family. And that's what, and I will not be satisfied until he is free. I mean, that is, as they say, the bottom line in all of this.
So does that essentially mean that you're going to appeal this decision when you say that you're going to seek a rehearing before the entire court?
Exactly. I think, in general terms, exactly. I'm sounding too much like a lawyer. I'm very sick when I've been sick with bronchitis or something the past 2 days.
But
anyway, yes, I mean, in effect, we're appealing the decision. Now, if we're unsuccessful, we will go to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm very encouraged by where we're going because of this strong dissent by one of the three judges. As I said, I've never, ever seen in any case as powerful a dissent as the one here. And the judge actually started out his dissent pointing out that that in any case, one has a right, is guaranteed the right to a fair trial, period. And that means that the removal of even one person who's African American from sitting on the jury because of his or her color, because of race, is unacceptable and mandates a new trial, period. And that's pretty powerful stuff. And we're not talking about some liberal lawyer like me writing this. We're talking about a very conservative judge who has clearly come out and said that it's just unacceptable racism in any way in a case, certainly in jury selection, which is the big issue in this case. And all of this is really significant because a thread that's run through this case from the beginning, over a quarter of a century ago, was racism. And the fact that this is the big elephant in the room, big gorilla in the room, that this is what everybody's talking about is encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very confident that we're headed down. I look at this judge's dissent as a roadmap, if you will, or a bright light shining, guiding us to where we should be going.
So when we say that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit ruled this, it's only two of the three judges on that panel.
Exactly.
There was a third who dissented.
Right.
Okay. So I just want to try to break this down as simply as possible. You said at the beginning that there was three parts to the ruling. One was that...
I'm sorry. You know that conference I was talking about, and what I can do if your listeners can, and you can bear with me, if I may just put you on hold for a moment.
Certainly.
And I can delay that about 10 minutes.
That's fine. Sure. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm speaking with Robert Bryan. He unfortunately has another conference that he has to put off for about 10 minutes. He's the lead attorney for Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I'm back with you.
All right.
I've been given a reprieve of at least 5 minutes. It's a conference with a couple of lawyers on this case.
Great. Thank you. So back to my question, and I really appreciate you putting that off a little bit. You said that there was three main parts to this decision. One is that he was denied an entirely new trial, which is what you were seeking, that you wanted the chance to prove his innocence.
Right.
Instead, what the decision was is that he will he'll be given a resentencing hearing. Right? It's not a whole new jury to decide whether or not he gets.
Well, it's a jury, but it's a jury which only limited its consideration to the question of penalty, which is not what we want. I mean, it's as I said, in any death penalty case, if this happens, that you know it's a good step, but it's not where we intend we want to go with this, or where we're intending to go.
And of course, that jury could not say he should walk out. They would only have two decisions: reinstate the death sentence that Judge Yon threw out in 2001, or life in prison without parole. They couldn't say, oh, we want to sentence him to, he's served his time, he can walk out. That's not one of their options. They would decide only whether he would get the death penalty or life in prison. So what's the third layer to this decision? Is it the dissenting?
Well, yeah, the third layer would be the dissenting.
The dissenting judge.
The dissent, which is, as I said, is more powerful than anything I've seen.
And you said it was a 41-page dissent?
Yes.
What were some of the key things, key reasons he dissented?
Well, one of the things interesting Judge Ambrose pointed out was that, and we refer to it as the Mumia exception because this keeps rearing its ugly head. He asked the question in different ways three times in his dissent. Why are the other two judges, why are they changing the rules? Why are they changing the law in this case from other cases? Why are they treating the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal differently than other people? And I think we can speculate on why, but I think it, I mean, obviously that's a very provocative, that's a very powerful question, because the court, what the court did, the other two judges, is imposed what is referred to as a contemporaneous objection issue. In other words, at the 1982 trial, the court-appointed lawyer, who was begging to get out of the case, the judge would let him out and did no investigation, and he was just overwhelmed by the case. The court said, the other two judges, that he should have objected each time the prosecution used race in removing somebody. However, the controlling decision on this, Batson versus Kentucky, wasn't decided until 4 years later, over 4 years later, in 1986. And this court, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, Philadelphia, has never held that a case this old, that there must be such a stringent requirement that the petitioner or the defendant, through his or her attorney, must object. What they've held was that this is such a fatal, this is such an outrageous violation of the U.S. Constitution that the fact that racism is at work in a case in and of itself is enough to mandate relief. And what these judges said was, these two judges, oh, no, 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 he must, through his lawyer, object each time. And Judge Ambrose in his dissent raised the question, why are they changing the rules from Mumia Abu-Jamal? Why are they treating this case differently? And he also raised the question, why are they lifting the bar? Why are they raising the bar higher, a higher standard than in other cases in which racism has reared its ugly head and is at work?
So he didn't answer these questions, but he raised them.
Yeah,
basically,
I mean, he's
we're supposed to be fair across the board, and we're making, you know, basically a politically charged decision in this case. It seems he's suggesting that maybe the other two judges were reacting to, that their decision was kind of a political one.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as Judge Ambrose finished his opinion, his dissent, by saying that no matter how, I mean, even the most guilty person, or one who, you know, regardless of how the appearance, he said, and I'm quoting him, he or she is entitled to a fair and impartial trial by a jury of his or her peers. The core guarantee of equal protection, ensuring citizens that their state will not discriminate on account of race, would be meaningless were we to approve the exclusion of jurors on the basis of race. In other words, that's what the other two judges, the majority of the court, was doing, was in effect saying, well, in this case, Mumia Abu-Jamal, we'll carve out a Mumia exception and let the prosecution get away with it. And, you know, when I argued this case before the three-judge panel last May, I asked a rhetorical question at the very end when I was allowed to get a stand up and give the final remarks and rebuttal. I asked the question, the district attorney's office of Philadelphia is well documented of using racism in jury selection in cases both before and after that of Mumia Abdul-Jamal. And are we to believe that in the trial, the biggest trial in the history of Philadelphia, involving an outspoken journalist and writer and community activist, Black Panther, are we to believe that the district attorney's office decided it would behave and not be racist in this of all cases? I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd on its face. So, so that's basically where we stand on this. And all I can say is tune in. We'll be seeking a reconsideration before the entire court. As I said, I want a completely new trial in this case.
And so the best case scenario from your point of view is that you would appeal this to the entire court and that they would then decide to grant Mumia an entirely new trial where you could go about presenting evidence to prove his innocence.
And this dissent gives us just a very puts us in a very powerful position. I would like to point out something. Judge Ambrose, in the first sentence of his dissent, said this: excluding even a single person from a jury because of race violates the Equal Protection Clause of our Constitution. And that's pretty powerful, and that's basically was his theme for the next 41 pages, next 40 pages. Interestingly, last week, on March 19, the U.S. Supreme Court, the case of Snyder versus Louisiana in a 7-2 decision, reaffirmed this principle very strongly. And what's really fascinating about that decision is it was written by Judge Alito, appointed by the George Bush, and a conservative member of the court who came from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, the very court where before in Mumia's case. And I sent a letter brief into the court last week right after that decision. And Judge Ambrose, in his dissent in the second sentence, identified that case. He said this simple principle was reaffirmed by our Supreme Court last week, and he refers to the Snyder versus Louisiana case. So even the most conservative judges are offended by racism that skews the fairness of a trial as it happened in this case. And of course, you have to remember there's much more. This is why I want to get this case back before a jury on the question of innocence, guilt, innocence. I want to retry it, is because this case was tried in by a prosecution that used a smorgasbord of fraud. At the original trial, everything that could go wrong in a case occurred in this case. From bad lawyering to no investigation to the failure to employ experts in crucial areas like ballistics and pathology, a courtroom packed with police officers who were allowed to wear their pistols in the courtroom and glare at the jury, you know, it's like out of central casting in Hollywood. Anything that could go wrong in a case was in this case, and maybe that's part of the reason, in addition to my client being a very courageous journalist and writer, he's written 5 books from death row, is that this case has become a symbol worldwide of why the death penalty and the legal system doesn't often, certainly the death penalty never works well, why the legal system can be so unfair to people who don't fit into the mainstream, for people who are very political. And this was a very political trial. So I really am just antsy to get this back before a jury and retry this case. And I'm convinced with what I know, the facts we have, that we can win this case, and he should be home. I mean, my goodness.
I just finally want to ask you if you could lay out really quick from your point of view what the best case scenario and the worst case scenario are for the immediate future and long term.
All right, the best case scenario would be either this, the U.S. Court of Appeals in bank, which means the entire court, all the judges, grants us a new jury trial. We get it back before a jury, or we have to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, the same result. And of course, the jury would, I can assure you, a very involved trial would return a verdict of not guilty, so my client can go home and acquit him. You know, that's the best scenario. I guess on the worst would be what's been ruled right now, what's in the pot, and that is a new jury trial, but only on the question of life or death. I mean, just, you know, that's just dreadful, the thought of that. I mean, if we have to, we'll do that, but I just think we can do much better. I think this 41-page dissent really lights the way. It's quite a guide for other judges to follow as far as fairness in a trial. So I'm very optimistic. Incidentally, I talked to Mamiya about an hour ago. We had a legal conference, and I'm actually seeing him this coming Monday in Pennsylvania, Death Row. I think I'd say this: our feelings are mixed. We're glad that there was this ruling on the death penalty. However, we're both quite angry of the lack of fairness in this case. But we will turn it around.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me, Robert.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for caring about justice.
Of course. You would hope everyone did. Take care, Robert, and good luck.
Thank you. And I'll give Mamiya your best.
Please do.
And thanks for everybody for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Robert Bryan, lead counsel for Mumia Abu-Jamal, who has been on death row in Pennsylvania since the early 80s. Many say for a crime he did not commit. If you want to know more about his case, you can go to freemumia.com. That's one website. And also want to let you know that there's an upcoming national protest around this issue on April 19th. There'll be demonstrations in San Francisco, in Philadelphia, in New York, and around the world on this. So that is going to be on April 19th in San Francisco, and actually on April 26th in Philadelphia. And if you want more information, the mobilization to free Mumia Abu-Jamal in San Francisco will take your call. There's a couple numbers here, 510-268-9429 or 510-387-7714. Wanted to also tell you a little bit about Mumia. I'm trying to pull up something here. Sorry about that. This is from freemumia.com. The case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, an innocent man on death row. He is a renowned journalist from Philadelphia who has been in prison since 1981 and on death row since 1983 for allegedly shooting Philadelphia police officer Daniel Faulkner. He is known as the voice of the voiceless for his award-winning reporting on police brutality and other social and racial epidemics that plague communities of color in Philadelphia and throughout the world. Mumia has received international support over the years in his efforts to overturn his unjust conviction. There was many questions about the way the scene of the crime was treated by the police, by the fact that the police actually beat him within an inch of his life. Also, the trial. And by the way, he was not, he was already shot lying at the scene, bleeding to death when they did this. It's amazing he even survived that night. The trial, which began in 1982 with Judge Szabo presiding, someone who sent more people to death row than any other judge, was riddled with all kinds of problems, including people being excluded from the jury based on their race, but also the evidence and witnesses that were not permitted or were permitted. It was a very racially charged trial. There was many problems with the evidence itself and also what evidence was excluded. There was witness coercion. There was people who recanted their original testimony. The sentencing itself, the instructions of the jury, was completely incorrect, which is actually the basis of this most recent decision by the Third Circuit Court to grant him a new resentencing hearing or life in prison. They've thrown out the death penalty, supporting the 2001 decision of Judge Yon to do that based on that original sentencing hearing. In any case, there is a ton of information about Mumia at freemumia.com. You can read about the trial. You can read about how the scene of the crime was handled. You can read about witnesses who've recanted and also problems with their original testimony, all kinds of issues around the evidence that was presented or was not presented, the judge, the jury, all of it, all this information at freemumia.com. Amnesty International has also done some very good reports on his case, and you can just do a search on him at amnesty.org, because they've done some really comprehensive reports on Mumia Abu-Jamal's case and brought up all kinds of serious questions around his conviction. In any case, keep an eye out for that upcoming April 19th San Francisco protest, and again, freemumia.com to get more information. Thanks for listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, and this show, Peace Talks.